5-minute concept series for Windows Server 2008 R2. In this screencast, we're going to be looking at native web services, and even though the slide says on server core, we want to reiterate that this works on server core or it works on a regular Windows Server 2008 R2 install. In this screencast, it's going to be the first part of a 2-series screencast, and the first one we're going to be looking at how to create a Windows Web Service API client on Windows Server 2008 R2. So just to give you a little bit of background information, the Windows Web Services API is an implementation of the SOAP stack by Microsoft. And the ways or the reasons why you might want to use it is not to always replace what you have with WCF by the native web services. That is not the case. The message that we want to get across is that the native web services is a complement to places where WCF cannot be used for particular reasons. For example, if native code is a requirement for your project, if there's no way that managed code can be used, then native web services is definitely something that you want to look upon. Also, when there's a very low number of dependencies desired, or when there's different things that can be used, that can be done with C++ in order to squeeze out the last drop of performance or to optimize for memory usage, then if you need to have those constraints and you cannot use managed code, then and you require a web service, then definitely Windows Web Services is your weapon of choice for these types of scenarios. Before we go a little bit on about the code and how to build the Windows Web Service client, we're gonna have a web services refresher in order to get up to date and see the different components that make up a web service, and so you can make more sense later on when we're working with the code. So the web service communicates with the client, and the web service exposes a series of endpoints to the client. And the client needs to specify or choose or pick one of these endpoints that best suits the whatever is trying to be accomplished by the client, that best suits its functionality. And the web service would then send this information back to the client, and the client would be able to carry out any tasks that it need. Now, that's why the endpoint is here, is to specify the client chose that particular endpoint to carry out its operations. Now, each endpoint is made up of three parts, which are called the ABCs of an endpoint: the address, the binding, and the contract. The address is basically the direction, the location, where the web services can be contacted by means of an HTTP address or a TCP address, where the service can be contacted by means by the client in order to carry out any type of operation. The binding determines how the service communicates, and it pretty much defines the rules that that the client must follow in order to successfully communicate with the service, such as the transport the service communicates, the encoder the service uses, or the kind of security the service require. Basically any type of communication that requirements that the service has in the particular endpoint is defined by the binding itself. And last but not least is the contract, which has there's different contracts in this level. You have data contracts, you have message contracts, and you have service contracts. The message contracts defines the type of message that is being used in order to use, for example, SOAP headers or HTTP headers. The service contract defines the functionality or that the web service exposes in order for the client to use it. And the data contract specifies the different data types that the web service uses for parameters and so on, whether the types of structs that can be used in order to comply successfully and send this information over. Now, all of this from the web service side is running on a service host environment. And the service host is responsible for accepting messages from the client and dispatching them correctly. And likewise, in the client, we have the service proxy, which is responsible for making sure that messages are correctly formatted before they're sent over to the web service. Now, from the web service, you can obtain the WSDL and XSD files, where the WSDL is the web service definition language file, and the XSD file contains the XML information of the types that the service offers. So by obtaining the WSDL and the XSD files and using them with the client can carry out its operations and can pretty much follow what is the purpose of the service host, that the client can use the web service by means of just calling functions without having to worry about any type of data serialization and so on. And by means of using a code generator, which every SOAP stack basically has a code generator that can grab WSD WSDL files and XSD files and generate signature C files, the client can use that information, know what type of data types is being used on the other side, the signatures of the methods and so on, and can effectively invoke those methods and send the parameters with the types that it requires. The scenario that we have for this for the demo that I'm going to be showing you is we have something in the similar to what we've been talking about. On the green side on the right, we have a WCF service, and it communicates to a SOAR DLL, which is a pure 100% unmanaged application written in C++. It's a library. The SOAR DLL exposes two sorting algorithms, the insertion sort and the quick sort, and the WCF service sends this information and retrieves it over to sort data that is being sent for the beginning by the service client using WCF, which is a C# application, which is depicted on the upper left corner. On the bottom left corner is the one that we're going to be focusing and talking about, which is the service client using Windows Web Services API. We're going to be looking at the code that you need to write in order for it to communicate successfully with the WCF service. All right, so let me just minimize this and get to Visual Studio and show you how we're going to be getting started with this. If I can get your attention over here to the Solution Explorer, we have five different projects, and I'm just going to start explaining what they are. Sort library is the DLL, is the DLL that we saw on the previous slide that sorts all the information. This is the unmanaged DLL. The DLL is used by the source service using WCF, so this is a WCF component which by means of interrupt communicates with the sort library DLL and sorts information. Now, a WCF component needs to run via IIS, or needs to run on a self-hosted service, which is the self-hosted application that we have at the bottom, which is hosting the WCF component. Now, these three are the ones that need to live together, and they can be running on a separate server or so on, and they're going to be called or consumed by the sort client using WCF. So this is our managed C# application that sends over an array of bytes, and it's sorted out by the WCF component, promoted by using the sort library DLL. So just to see how this works, I'm gonna right-click on the sort service host that we're using WCF, and I'm gonna start a new instance so that the WCF service will be running. So it's gonna give it a second, and it should show a window right here saying that the source service is up and running, and now it's available to communicate with the client. Now I'm gonna go back to my Solution Explorer, right-click on Sort Client using WCF, and I'm just gonna debug this. And just so you know, you can download this source code and you can try this on your own as well and obtain the same results. So over here it says please enter the path to the file. The file that we're using for this example is called small.txt. And now it's going to ask us whether we want to have an insertion sort or a quick sort, or both, which is what I'm going to be selecting. And at this time it's going to be communicating with the WCF component, which is communicating with the sort library DLL in order to sort this information, and once it returns, the timer is stopped and it displays the time it took. So in this case it took roughly 4 seconds for both of them, and I'm just going to close the client. And now we start delving into the sort client using the Windows Web Services API. Now before we do this, so I'm just going to show you the procedure that can be done in order to generate WSDL files from the web service. So let me just switch over to the command prompt that I have right here. And before you do this, you want to make sure that your service is running, because like we'll see here when I type this command, sbcutil, well, we're now specifying that we want to generate metadata file by specifying the tswitch colon metadata, and we're specifying the location, the address of where the source service is, where the web service is running. And this is the address of the web service that we have running right here that we just used. So if this is not running, we're going to get an error when we run this command. So I'm just going to run it and let it run for a second, and we should continue. Okay, so as you can see, we have one WSDL file right here generated, and we have two XSD files that were generated by communicating with the web service. Now, before we go on, I'm just going to go ahead and rename these two files to something more meaningful. And now that we have renamed those two files, we can use this utility called wsutil, and it takes in the files that we just generated, and this is going to generate the C signature files that we need. So I'm just going to clear the screen and show you what it generated. And over here you see that it generated an XSD file. From the XSD, it generated the C file, the C file, the header file for each one of the files. So having generated these files, we can go back and with the sort client right here, we can now add these files that were generated by selecting add existing. And these are the files exactly where we are. So I'm just going to sort by type. And we want to include all the header files and all the C source files. Okay, so now they're being included, and we can go ahead and build, well, explain what the client, the different components from the client. So let me just go ahead and sort, show you what the sort service client looks like, the header file. The first thing that you must do is that you must include the web services .h.header file. And this is included in the SDK for Windows 7, so make sure you install that before you run this application. You try to compile it, or else you get a compiler errors. Also, if you go to the linker files, the linker input files for the project properties, over here linker and input, then you're going to see that we need to define under the additional dependencies the web services.lib library. After that, we include the files that we generated, the header files. And another thing that I'd like to show you, well, over here is just forward declaration, but under the private properties members we have here, we have three handles: the error, the heap, and the service proxy. So this is just defined here, and just make sure that you remember this further down the road where they are initially defined. Okay, so back to the sort service client source. I'm just going to scroll down and show you. Okay, like for example, this function right here. We're right now in the quicksort function, and this receives a byte array and the size of the array. So this needs to be sent over to the web service in order for it to process this information and sort the array. Now, over here you see where the function from the web service we're using to send it over. And this is defined within, well, the WSDL file defined this, and now that's where we grabbed it from, was from the source file that the WSDL file generated. So if we go over here and just go use the header file for the sort service WSDL file, we can do a quick search for quicksort, and the documentation will show us that the client functions were generated were with WSHTTP binding quicksort, so we can now copy these and we can search for the function itself. And here we have the client function definition for the function that we need to invoke from the web service. So it has all this bunch of parameters. Some of them should be not too difficult to understand. For example, the byte array and the array length. Others, specifically the service proxy, the heap, and the error were the ones that it predefined. These are the handles that we need to create in order to send this over to the server itself, to the web service. So going back, based on this client function definition, you can pretty much send over the information that it needs based on the service proxy, the byte store, the heap, and the error. Now, this have just been declared on the header file for this project, but we need to create them with the corresponding data, and that's exactly what I'm going to show you right now. So if we scroll all the way up to the file, under the open connection function, the first thing that we're going to be looking here is that by using the wscreateError function and sending error, then that will take care of creating the error object that we need to use for the functions that we just saw and for other functions. The heap is the one responsible for data serialization. So just like creating the error object, we use wscreateheap instead, and sending a series of parameters. And over here is the heap that was defined in the header file for the project. And also we have over here the initial size of the heap in size of bytes. And we're specifying a big number here, just because we know that we're going to be passing big arrays of data back and forth. So that's why we're specifying this. And just as a general information, the 10 million bytes are not going to be allocated as soon as the heap is created. You're just specifying the maximum size of the heap right there. It's not that the heap is going to have that, it's going to allocate that much memory as soon as it starts. Okay, now another thing that we want to do, and it's not something that you always will have to do, is the code specify here that says adjust maximum size of message below. So by modifying the channel property, the maximum size of the message was changed. And this, once again, is to allow big data to be sent back and forth, and specifically for the size of the message. By default, just like WCF, the size of the message is 64K, so if you go further than that, then you're going to have problems with your code. So that's where we're taking off care right here, is making sure that big messages can be sent back and forth. After that, we have here the service proxy. And just like we find out how to what the signature for the method was for the quicksort algorithm, we do the same for the create service proxy. And we know that it takes a template value of the template that was defined here to define the new channel property. And it takes in the service proxy that was defined in the header file, and the error file, the error object that we defined on the top. So after doing this, you have your service proxy, and it's just a matter of declaring the address where your endpoint is going to be located, and you use this by specifying the URL, and in this case we're going to run it from the local host. And once this is done, you specify WS Open Service Proxy, and you send in the service proxy that's specified, the address, and the error, just in case. And once you do this, the client will be able to send information over to the web service, and once the connection closes down, then it releases the handles, and it just closes down. If you look at the code, it will be worth it. And just as a parenthesis, if you scroll down all the way down, if you look at the code that says print error and receives an error code, and the WS error, this does carries out an excellent job of displaying information from the error. So definitely a function that you want to have in your code whenever you working with WS Error objects. Alright, so I'm just going to compile everything now. And after this is done, what I'm going to be doing is firing up again once more the WCF service, which was the one that we run at the beginning, and then I'm going to be running the WWS API client, the client to communicate with the service. So I'm just gonna minimize that, and over here I'm just gonna debug and start a new instance and wait for the WCF service to show up. Okay, there it is. So I'm gonna switch over to my command prompt, switch over to where the binary is, and over here you can see it. It's called sort client using WWS API.exe. So I'm just going to invoke that. It's going to ask me for the path of the file, which in this case is small txt. For what type of algorithm to use. Once again, I select both. And right now it's doing the exact same thing as the sort client using WCF. But now we're communicating via a native Windows Services API client. So make sure you look at the code and you pay close attention to exactly all the steps that we did here, and you should be good to go and create the client. Make sure you don't miss the second part of this screencast, in which we'll be talking about how to create a native web service using Windows Web Services API. Thanks for watching.